Check, 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 check. You go.
Check mic. Test mic 1, 2, 3. Test mic 1, 2, 3. Doesn't sound the same as yours.
Let's see.
Hello. Test mic 1, 2, 3. Test mic 1, 2, 3. Test, test, test. Test mic 1, 2, 3. Hello. Test mic 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Give me again. Go again.
Test mic 1, 2, 3. Paul Feinbaum.
All right. Check 1, 2, 3. Paul Feinbaum on the on FM Talk 106.5. Paul Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5. Paul Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5. Where am I? Paul Feinbaum on FM Talk 106.5. Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum. Check, 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 check. 1, 2, 3. All right.
Test mic 1, 2, 3. Test mic 1, 2, 3. You have any kind of a timer where you... No, it's around 10 minutes long.
We've got this down here, so oh, that's right. Keep an eye on
okay.
it. All right, and let's see if we're connected here. Settings. Bluetooth. BTA2. Right, I'm going to call you just to make sure it's working real quick.
I don't have my phone with me.
Yeah, I'm just going to see if it rings.
Okay.
Brennan, is that the name?
Wachorski. Sounds good.
All right, perfect. All right, so I'm going to call.
Did you just prank call me?
So you'll open it up just like you would on a Friday morning, normally.
Okay.
Hello?
Hey, is this Paul Feinbaum?
Yes, it is.
All right, this is Dalton and Dan with FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for making time for us again.
Sorry?
I appreciate you calling. I'm right here.
Okay, here we
perfect.
Go.
All right, you have about 10 minutes. Is that fine?
Whatever you guys need.
Okay. Thank you, all Paul. Right. Appreciate it a lot, Brent. Here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and it is Friday morning, a little after 8 o'clock, and so it's Football Fridays with Feinbaum.
Fridays with Feinbaum.
Paul Feinbaum on the line with us. Dan and Dalton, good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Hey, we're doing great here at the palatial FM Talk 106.5 studios, Paul. But a lot to get into. Already week one is in the books, heading into week two tomorrow with so many games, including our first SEC matchup of the season. But let's talk about where it all begins and Alabama looking like the class of not just the SEC but the nation once again.
Yeah, they didn't really leave much doubt Saturday. And, you know, people can quibble about the opponent, but I mean, it was a ranked team, was better than most teams play on opening weekend, and it really didn't matter. Alabama was as close to perfection as I have seen them, and it starts with Bryce Young. We talked about how great the defense needed to be. He was brilliant in his first start, and I, in all my years of covering college football, I've never seen a guy after his first start already be the Heisman front runner.
Immediately, it's like, okay, another year. And guess who has cast little doubt as to who's the best team in college football? We're one week in, Paul, and already Alabama somehow has made it clear we're the bully in the room again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a tremendous surprise, but I think it was really the way they played. I just didn't expect them to look that complete. I mean, they frankly looked unbeatable, and I've talked to people all week who are – really just saying forget the season, give Alabama the trophy. I'm not probably going that far because I think Alabama still has a difficult schedule. A week from Saturday in Gainesville and 6 weeks from now in College Station, that's as tough a challenge as anyone's going to see, but Alabama will be double-digit favorites probably in both games.
Yeah, and, you know, we're seeing the same old Nick Saban this week as he gets after the team for not showing the preparation he feels they need to show with Mercer coming up this Saturday. But they looked great against number 14 Miami, I mean the 14th ranked team in the nation going in. Let's talk a little bit about Auburn in game one with Brian Harsin. Now, it was just Akron, but I think they looked about as good as any Auburn fan would want to see in week one.
Yeah, it's always difficult to evaluate games against just pathetic opposition. So you forget the opposition and you worry about, well, how do you look? And they look good, especially Bo Nix, who, you know, people have loved to beat up like he's a pinata at the birthday party. And, you know, he shook all that off. He executed. Yeah, does it matter a lot? I don't know. It probably won't matter much this week either. It will matter next week when they get to Penn State. But the point being, they will have gotten some games under their belt under a new system. So I feel pretty good about Auburn right now.
Paul, what are your people in Auburn telling you about this coach, about this coaching staff, about this coaching style? We saw the results in week one. But, you know, behind the scenes, what are you hearing?
I hear a lot of good things about Brian Harsin. And, you know, Gus Malzahn did some good things. He beat Nick Saban three times, but the program had gotten stale. He was very boring on offense, and I think fans wanted to see more, and I think the players on the team were eager to see more. And, you know, with Mike Bobo on the offensive side and Derek Mason on the defensive side, I think you have two very solid coordinators, both former head coaches who failed, but are good coordinators. And, yeah, ultimately we'll know in a week or two. I think, I mean, not only is there Penn State, but you know, there's Georgia in a couple of weeks, and obviously everyone that Alabama, that Auburn always plays, including Alabama at the end of the year. So I never want to ask fans, hey, don't get excited because we spent 6 months getting ready for the season, and after 1 week people like me are saying, no big deal, let's wait till next week. I mean, there are only 12 games in the season, so you know, you take it step by step, but I felt like Auburn exceeded expectations if you're grading on the curve.
We're talking with Paul Feinbaum on Football Fridays with Feinbaum here on FM Talk 106.5. And, of course, you can catch the Paul Feinbaum Show 2 to 6 right here on this station every weekday. And, Paul, you've gotten a lot of calls this week, of course, from Happy Dogs fans. They got it done against Clemson, the only top five matchup this week. But what a defensive masterpiece, really, on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it was a game from almost the 50s or 60s we were watching Saturday night. And I know because it was the biggest game of the day and you overanalyze, Georgia fans are worried about their offense. Clemson fans are worried, period. But I think that's the kind of game you don't really care whether you win 3-2 or 50-40. You go in there and you accomplish what you needed. I didn't hear anybody complaining 10 years ago when LSU and Alabama met in a 9-6 game. It was one of the most combustive games I've ever seen. And no one's going to care at the end of the season. The real problem, though, is that Clemson has dug itself a hole that they may not be able to get out of. They're in a terribly inferior league, and that loss hurt them badly. Georgia probably could have afforded to lose. Now that Georgia has won, we start getting into the, well, are they going to run the table and get to the playoffs? The answer is probably they are. Hmm.
Yeah, probably, but it's a long season to go, Paul, and things can happen along the way. I've never heard a team get beat up so bad after a big win as Georgia with the lack of offense. It's like, well, they did beat a top five team.
They did, and I think you expect that. It doesn't happen that often because you really don't get these type of matchups until either the SEC championship game or maybe the Alabama LSU game or Auburn game or the playoffs. But that's as good a matchup as you'll see all year. And I think when you have months to prepare, you're not looking over your shoulder. So yeah, I mean I doubt anybody could walk well after the game. But the good news for both is that, well, I say good news. Georgia has UAB this week, which is a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see what happens there as a kind of a letdown spot for the Bulldogs. Another major topic of conversation on the Feinbaum Show has been those LSU Tigers, and odds makers knew that it would be a tight game, or guessed that it would be a tight game between them and UCLA out in L.A. on Saturday, but they actually got outclassed by the Pac-12 team. Ed Orgeron, what's going on?
I think a lot's going on there, and I have friends who, wanted to try to tell me how good UCLA was. Well, I don't care about that. I've been hearing for months how great LSU was going to be and how they were going to contend with Alabama. And you know, they didn't do any of that. It was a terrible loss. And it was a bad loss, too, and I mean, even more than the score. LSU, you know, was out-muscled and out-played and out-coached. And I think it's exactly the wrong way to begin a season for a coach who you would think is in great shape. It's only a year removed from a national championship. But I'm here to tell you he's not in great shape. Fans are bailing on him, media bailing on him. And if he loses a few more games, I think the administration will probably be bailing on him.
He's kind of contributing to his own demise with his personal life a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a big mystery. I tend to not to believe everything I read or see on social media, but a little bit too much has gotten out there. And even more than that, he made one comment to a fan going into the game. He called the colors of UCLA sissy blue.
Yeah.
That's funny if you win by 30 points. It's not funny when you get your teeth knocked out by the sissies.
and to kind of recap, finish the recap of week one, with Kiffin not being on the sideline Monday night against Louisville, I guess I didn't really know what to expect with him not calling the plays, but they came out and took care of business.
Yeah, I might suggest leaving him home every week. He seems to play better with him out. He really is a good coach. And I think the key to that team is Matt Corral, who's one of the better quarterbacks around. The question has been about Ole Miss, can the defense be even average? They were pathetic last year. They look pretty good. And Ole Miss suddenly is the hot, trendy team that everyone thinks will take maybe Alabama down. I don't, but I do think they will be an upper division team this year.
Not many great matchups to speak of this coming weekend. Of course, you have Alabama and Mercer. You have Auburn and Alabama State. But we do have the first SEC matchup of the year. I think Kentucky, Missouri playing each other.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about what will be a future SEC matchup. Arkansas and Texas getting it on this weekend. What do you think that means for the Texas fan base as they head into the USC in the next couple years?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm heading out there to Fayetteville for the weekend, and we're doing our show and doing the SEC show Saturday morning. And that is a game from the past. They haven't played regularly in 30 years. And if you're 50 plus, maybe a little older, you remember that one of the most famous games in college football history in 1969. It was so crazy that the game was moved to the end of the season, and it turned out that the two teams were 1-2, and Penn State was also undefeated. But from a historical standpoint, it's important because the president at the time, Richard Nixon, decided to go to the game and declare the winner the national champion, which upset Joe Paterno a great deal because they were undefeated as well.
Yeah, I think that even in 1969, Pennsylvania was part of the United States of America, Paul.
There's a famous book called Horns, Hogs, and Nixon's Coming, a takeoff on the famous Neil Young song. It's a game. I was in Little Rock a couple years ago. I made a crack about the game, and 300 people went dead silent on me. I did not realize that 45 years later, or maybe 40 years later at the time, feelings were still raw about the 15-14 Texas victory.
Paul, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it a lot.
Always a pleasure, guys.
That is Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show, 2 to 6 every weekday right here on FM Talk 106.5. And so great to have him on Football Fridays like today.